You've probably heard the term innovation ecosystem thrown around a lot, right? In boardrooms, in government meetings, everywhere. But here's the thing. While everyone's talking about it, it feels like nobody can agree on what it actually is. So let's dive in and get some real clarity on this. And we should, because the stakes are incredibly high. This quote is from engineer Jorge Cuadros-Blas, and his model is what we're going to break down today. He's basically saying that getting these ecosystems right isn't just some academic exercise. It's literally the difference between moving forward and falling behind. Now, what makes his perspective so valuable is where he's coming from. We're talking about someone who spent 36 years in the trenches of industrial innovation and then another 15 years in university education. He saw these two worlds, you know, the world of brilliant ideas and the world of practical application, and realized they often don't even speak the same language. And he's been very clear that seeing that disconnect is exactly what drove him to create a model to bridge that gap. Which brings us right to the main event. If this thing is so critical, what in the world is it? We really need a solid, workable definition. And here's the heart of the problem. The term gets used for pretty much everything. Industrial clusters, startup scenes like Silicon Valley, even internal corporate hubs. And you know what they say. When a word means everything, it's in danger of meaning nothing. This confusion isn't just annoying. It leads to bad research and policies that are doomed to fail from the start. So, to cut through all that noise, the author gives us something incredibly useful. A map. A unified model that lets us see not just the individual players, but how the whole system actually works together. Okay, here's his core definition. It's a system of diverse actors linked by critical flows and governed by rules that co-evolves. Now, the two words you really got to grab onto there are linked and co-evolves. This tells us it's not some static machine that we can just engineer and build. No, it's a living, breathing system that adapts over time. So, who's in this system? Well, the model smartly organizes everyone into three layers. First, you've got the enablers. Think government, investors, universities. They set the stage. Then in the middle, you have the transformers. These are your startups, your R&D labs. They're the ones actually making the new stuff. And finally, you've got the adopters, the market, the customers. They're the ones who ultimately say yes or no to the innovation. It's not just a random collection of players. It's a value chain. All right, now we're getting to what might be the single biggest idea in this whole model. It's not just about who's in the ecosystem, it's about what's flowing between them. The best analogy is a circulatory system. You can have all the right organs, but without blood flow, the system is dead. And there are five of these critical flows. If the flow of knowledge is blocked, you get the valley of death, you know, where amazing research from a university just dies on a shelf. If capital is blocked, that's the funding trap, where great ideas have no money to grow. If opportunities for talent are blocked, you get a brain drain, simple as that. If the flow of value to the market is blocked, you've just built a solution nobody wants to buy. And if you block feedback from the market, well, you get a deaf ecosystem that never learns from its mistakes. And this is the line that really hits home. You can have all the right pieces on the board, world-class universities, brilliant entrepreneurs, big companies. But if those flows are clogged, you don't have an ecosystem. You have an organizational corpse. Okay, so if an ecosystem's health is all about the flows, how can you tell how healthy yours is? Well, the model gives us a way to diagnose it by understanding that these systems go through four distinct phases of growth. See, they all evolve in a pretty predictable way. They start out at phase zero, fragmentation, where everybody's just doing their own thing in isolation. Then they become nascent, where the very first fragile connections start to form. After that comes expansion, where things really start to get interesting, with more players and flows moving in both directions. And finally, you reach consolidation, a dense, super efficient network where everything just works.
And the difference between the beginning and the end is just, it's night and day. A fragmented system has no capital, a culture that's terrified of risk, and its best people leave. A consolidated one, it's swimming in capital, it sees failure as a learning opportunity, and it's a total magnet for talent from all over the world.
So what does all this mean if you're actually trying to build one of these things? The author says we need a huge mental shift. We need to stop thinking like an engineer trying to build a machine and start thinking like a gardener trying to cultivate a garden. Because this is probably the single most important lesson in this entire explainer. You can't design an ecosystem from the top down. You just can't. It's a complex, adaptive system. All you can really do is create the right conditions, you know, prepare the soil, and then help it grow on its own.
So what are the gardener's rules? It's simple, really. One, focus on unblocking the flows, not just adding more universities or companies. 2, create the spaces for connections to happen, but don't try to force them. 3, know what phase you're in. What works for Silicon Valley will kill a brand new ecosystem. And 4, never forget that the unwritten rules, the culture of trust and collaboration, matter just as much as the laws on the books. So I'll just leave you with this question to chew on. Think about your own city, your industry, or even your company. Now that you know what to look for, ask yourself, are the critical flows of knowledge, capital, and talent moving freely? Or can you spot the blockages that are holding your ecosystem back?